Welcome to the next podcast in the series Teaching Humanity Remotely with Dr. Mindy Shaw. These podcasts are all a reflection of her educational philosophy. She's written a big series of children's picture books recently for social emotional learning. The podcasts have been discussing those books, their impact, their function, and how families can benefit from them. This week, Dr. Shaw decided to share her philosophy in a different way. She was interviewed recently on WDST-FM in Woodstock. Doug Grunther hosts a program called the Woodstock Roundtable. Dr. Mindy Shaw was his guest, and Dr. Shaw figured that this week she'll share that interview just for another point of view on her philosophy and what her current work is all about. So here you go, WDST and the Woodstock Roundtable.
My biggest fear is for the kids, you know. They're not as susceptible to the virus. Now there's evidence that they're not spreading it, but boy, they're either kept out of school or they're in school, they're out of school. It's horribly tough on parents. So who better to talk about that than Dr. Mindy Shaw? Dr. Shaw has been an educator for 30 years. She's written multiple books, and her new one couldn't be more timely, A Kid's Concern, the Coronavirus, Feeling Sick Bad. Mindy, good morning.
Good morning.
And what a year it's been. Yeah, we've been discussing archetypes and things like that, but the child is an archetype. And to me, the child is the one who has been least served well during this pandemic. I'm just curious your take and what you're hearing from mothers and fathers and what you can offer them.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. Let this be a year that is full of growth and opportunity. So what happened was I was a teacher in the Hudson Valley for over 30 years. And when I retired, I knew that I wasn't done teaching. You know, I'm a student of life, and I love being a learner, and I love being a teacher, and I love sharing. And so when the pandemic happened, I decided that I was going to write books that were all about social, emotional, life experiences with, you know, so that the curriculum at school could be richer for children, because I believe if we don't have quality relationships, that's what needs to come first as learners. We need to feel safe. And that's what should be at the core of education. If I have a quality relationship, I can take a risk. I'm not afraid to make a mistake. I don't have shame. Then I could learn, and I would learn how to read and write and do math much better. So I wrote these books on social emotional, like for a curriculum for school. And then I realized, you know what? There's more than just the teacher that needs this. Every stakeholder will benefit. The children will love the honesty that these books portray. Children have worries. They have concerns about the coronavirus. They have needs. They have wants. They get stubborn. They need to learn to agree to disagree. They need to learn how to share and have good sportsmanship. So the children love the books because the characters, a grandmother and a granddaughter, and they're always the same. And that consistency is very reliable and relatable for children. And the parents really need it. It was my intention. I feel like at this time of need, if we all came together and could hear our calling and just share our gifts, we would be able to take care of each other. And that would be the opportunity of this, you know, very challenging time. So what the books do is that the books allow the parents to see how I speak with children. And it's just honest and it's raw, and because children are truth seekers and they're allowed to have concerns when their household pet dies and they feel sad. And parents need to, now more than ever, in this really busy time for parents, I feel my heart bleeds for them because they're home having to work and the child's also home having to get educated. And so parents need a very easy, quick way to, they're going to read a book to their child at the end of the night anyway. Let's read a book about the child concerned about coronavirus, or when a child feels stuck, or when a child needs to learn how to share with their brother or sister. So these books are really, I wrote them with the intention of being helpful to every stakeholder who reads them.
We're talking with Dr. Mindy Shaw. For 30 years, she's been an educator. Her doctorate is in education, particularly when it comes to children. There's sort of two archetypes that I always go to when I think about education. And you're welcome to either agree or correct me if I'm wrong. But I feel one of the most important books I ever read was called The Uses of Enchantment by Bruno Bettelheim, where he as I understood it, he's basically saying the value of fairy tales are they're dark, they have villains, but kids, it's a way for kids to start understanding the adult world without having to face it as an adult. And the reason there's violence in fairy tales is because kids, they know there's violence. They feel it, they see it, and it's a way of kind of working it out. In a way that they can work it out. The other is the word education. It comes from the Latin to draw out. And I always felt that my education growing up in the 50s and 60s, and I went to very high-rated public schools with well-intentioned teachers, I felt it wasn't about drawing out. It was about stuffing in. It was about regurgitating having to memorize what we were told to learn more than it was drawing out of what we each were. I just want get your take on that.
Okay, well, I'll go to the second one first because I think, you know, it's what is the difference between knowledge and intelligence? You know, where does wisdom come in? I mean, I absolutely feel that you're right. I think that we're afraid. We're afraid to be real and open. You know, so I showed these books to an educator and the person said, oh, this content's too mature. And I'm like, what? The death of a pet is too mature. What we do is that we don't talk to children because we may not know what to say. We sweep it under the rug. We think everything's okay. And then when they become teenagers, we wonder why, you know, we're having such dilemma with them. It's because we haven't taught them how to be. And I don't think education, although there are very good teachers who want that, you know, it's sort of like on Yentl, you have to shut the blinds and study like when no one's seeing it. But if you don't have the quality relationships, how can you learn anyway? So I think it is about the education does just care about stimulating the intellect, and it's just academic, and we need to educate the whole child. And when we see the value, what makes us different than other animals is our ability to express our emotions. Once we learn how to do that, we need the words, and we need to not be afraid to tell the truth. So I totally agree with what you said about how education is missing. It's missing the mark, and we're seeing that in our society. And when it comes to fairy tales, I think it's right. You know, life is full. We want to live a whole big life. And sometimes it's joyous and sometimes it's sorrowful. And sometimes we're easing into the flow of everything and sometimes we're feeling anxious. And we need to be able to share that. And I think when you have the fairy tale, it definitely represents that. And I think that it's important to also teach children that, you know what? It's not always going to end happily. Like, you know, there's a book I have on shame. It's that there's no mistake. We don't need to erase the mistake. It's a retake. It's a mistake. So let's embrace the opportunity and celebrate. When that baby falls and wants to learn how to walk, the baby keeps on falling. But every time that baby gets up, it's an inspiration. And that's how we need to embrace education. And then we would have a year that is full, that would be educationally full and growthful.
What can you, and of course the book deals with it, and we'll make sure people get the book and where they can get it. But if for the parents listening now who are home, they want to work. They want their kids educated. Their kids are home. It's stressful. The kids are stressed. They're stressed. Every day you open up a newspaper or turn on the TV or radio, it's a spike in infection rates, you know, all over the place. What are a couple direct things you would maybe suggest to parents in how to deal with this?
Okay, so you can, I don't mean to plug myself, but you could go to my website, which is Learn With Me Remotely. That's Learn With Me Remotely. And on my website, I have free podcasts that talk about all these different aspects. Advice for parents, there's a free download book about having your child be independent learning remotely at home. Because parents need to have time, and they need to feel like they can take care of their own needs. The stress on parents is, I just think, so overwhelming. And I really feel like these books make it so easy and quick because it's like, here's, so I'll give you one title. In each soft cover book, there are three stories. So one is worry, anxiety, time out is time in, needs and wants. So it talks about the fact is that when you're feeling timed out, you're not being punished. It's an opportunity to go inward and think about your action. Then there's a book about sorry. Well, it's just say, if you're sorry, then change your behavior. Otherwise, you're not sorry. So I think that parents need to be able to talk to their children. If they can set aside, you know, maybe dinner time where they could talk about big issues. You know, at school, you used to learn how to take turns. Now you're home, and I don't have the time to teach you. I'm stressed out. I'm trying to work. You know, these social-emotional opportunities are, that's, even though school may not have the ultimate intention to do it, they just come up naturally. Children have to learn how to take turns to walk in the halls. if they don't have good sportsmanship, that, you know, about bullies. They're learning all these things. So if they're not getting that opportunity, those things still need to be taught, because we want to make sure that our children are growing up so that they could be contributing members of society. So let's just be real with them. It's not about quantity. It's about a little quality. Read these books at the end of the night with your child. Then when they get angry, they have strategies to deal with their anger. And so they can go into their room. The books talk about it. So that's one way. The other way is I'm going to start offering something. I've never done it before. Where I try to, like, the parents buy books or teachers buy books, and they want me to Zoom with their family for a half hour. I want to do that because I want to be of service. I feel like we all have a calling. Some in this time in the world, some people really need, and they should get their needs met. And some people have something they can give and fulfill that need. So what I feel like, we should set up little, first of all, I really want children to use their imaginations and be off screen. I'm a big advocate of that. But for now, if they have to be learning remotely, set up some social times where children can actually be talking to their friends. Because when they're at school, they're not really socializing. They have to be 6 feet apart. It's not natural. You know, and I have a whole thing about education where I think they should just have a makeup year next year, so that this can be an opportunity where we just relinquish some stress. You know, it's a different time and we need to respond differently. And if we think that we can get it all in this new way, we're just once again not seeing the reality of the situation.
We're talking with Dr. Mindy Shaw. She's an experienced educator, and after retiring from teaching, she's now an author and consultant. Is it learnwithmeremotely.com?
Learn with me remotely, yes. And my podcast is Teaching Humanity Remotely. But you can just go to the Learn with Me Remotely website and get all the information. And I'm really available. If anyone writes to me on my website, I respond. And the writing and the concerns and the questions, they become the podcast for the next week.
Victoria.
Well, I'm very interested in what you say about children, because I've always been a great fan of children, and particularly their honesty and their authenticity. What I see
when I see they're truth seekers.
Right. When I listen to you, I think, well, really, adults need a lot of instruction in authenticity in our culture, because I've been noticing lately on television how there's all these shows, like Ellen DeGeneres has one, where they throw people into tanks when they get the wrong answers to questions and things, and everybody screams and shouts, and there's like a huge void in anything close to kindness or reality or gentleness in the media. And I feel like it's the parents and the teachers right now who almost need the education more than the kids.
Wow, I can't wait. I want you to be my best friend.
I'd be careful about that, Mindy.
But, you know, I like friends that are very out of the box. But here's what's really interesting. When I was a teacher, I would sometimes be afraid. My favorite place to be, my peace, my heaven on earth was teaching in that classroom. It was a K-1 classroom, and I had the families and children for 2 years, and the younger ones helped the older ones, and then they paid it forward. It was just so authentic. But, you know, I would be with them, because five-year-old kids, they can go to the party without having to drink and without having to, like, they're just there. They're ready. They're full of awe. They're an inspiration. And I would, like, be afraid. I would think that the adults that I was with, I would say if they were in my classroom, you know, they wouldn't act like that. Like, it was more pleasurable for me to be with the young children than the adults, because we haven't been taught, like you said, you know, in the schools where they were just throwing information, memorizing, not inviting creativity. They were actually, like, doing the opposite. Instead of expanding us, they were, like, pushing us down. So I think these books do that. Parents want to help their children. They want to do the right thing. If they haven't learned the right words, well then, you know what? We all learn through modeling. So here are the words. Just read the books. It's not that I'm the best writer in the world. It's just that I value honesty and truth. And so I've spoken to children like this for 30 years. This started because my granddaughter was 3 and she said, Minmin, I like the way you speak with me. And I thought, you know what? She's telling me something. She hears me talking with her in a different way than other adults are talking with her. That's what these books offer.
Yeah, you were talking a little bit about honesty with children and how honest they are. Is there a line in a child's life where honesty is not the right approach? You know,
So here's what I'd say about that. I think that we cannot not talk about the coronavirus when children and parents are wearing masks in the street, right? But we can speak in a way that is developmentally appropriate. So it's not like, is there ever a time not to be honest? Let's, you know, well, that's a philosophical question. To me, I'm going to always attempt to be honest and have integrity once I'm honest with myself. And, you know, but I'm not going to say everything that is going to not be productive. I'm going to, if there's a divorce in the family, I'm going to say, you know, what would probably be the case. Mommy and daddy still love you, but, you know, we don't live well together. We're going to be better parents if we're apart. That's the truth of the matter, you know? So if there was something more criminal where there had to be a breakup, would I tell my child that? Not when the child is 5 or 6 or 7, but when there's a right time for everything. And if I'm in the moment, I'll be present, I'll be led. You know, so I think honesty is always the right policy, but I think that it has to be developmentally appropriate. And it's like tattling. I think it's better to catch someone doing something great, right? We are what we pay attention to, so let's pay attention to the positive. But if someone's really being dangerous, sometimes you need to know. So it's just a matter of teaching and learning how to speak in a way that the honesty is for the betterment and the good of the development of the people, as opposed to, you know, being a negative experience. But yes,
well,
I think
Mindy, we appreciate your work. It was always important, more important now than ever. And it's learnwithmeremotely.com is the website. Dr. Mindy Shaw, SHAW, you can Google her. You will find her. Her new book is A Kid's Concern, The Coronavirus Feeling Sick Bad. And, you know, one thing you touched on, because we have certain archetypal themes here on the Woodstock Roundtable. One of them is that one of the reasons computers are becoming intelligent at such enormous speeds is because they work on trial and error. They're able to work it. No one's telling them not to make errors because that's how that we learn. But in our educational system, we're only rewarded for being right. Where's the trial and error? So I think that's what I'm hearing is you're calling for being more sensitive to errors and the whole learning process. We got to get a little hipper.
Yeah, and even like thinking about it, instead of it being an error, which it's really, isn't it an like? But here's an example. You know, kids in my classroom, we didn't have erasers because they would spend all their energy on erasing, and there's a limited amount of time and attention and energy. So I wanted them to spend their energy on the learning, and it's the mistake, it's the error. It's in the error that we learn something new. If I stop, pause and figure out what it is, what needs to be taught in that era. If I cover up the error because I have shame, and why would we have shame? So it's really about changing, changing the way we see things and understanding that all of what we could see is negative could really be a positive, right? If we're being called to action, if people are serving each other, we could, this time, if we see that this is a different time and we respond accordingly and do some different things, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, you know?
Well, learnwithmeremotely.com, Dr. Mindy Shaw. Keep up the good work. It's much needed.
I hope I can be invited again. It was a pleasure.
It'd be our pleasure.
With my new friend. Okay, have a growthful new year.
All right, take care.
And that concludes this episode of the podcast series Teaching Humanity Remotely with Dr. Mindy Shaw. Thank you for listening. You can follow Dr. Shaw on Facebook. Her page is Learn With Me Remotely. That's on Facebook. That's also her website, learnwithmeremotely.com. Her podcasts and all the books that she's been referring to are on that site for purchase, and samples are there as well. You can follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mindy Shaw 1. Doctor is abbreviated DR, and the one is the number one, Dr. Mindy Shaw 1. And on Instagram at Dr. Mint with a T, Shaw. Thanks again for listening. Watch out for the next podcast in the series. That'll be coming real soon.